And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, defeated here and declare. You're independent to me, you're in Stancock, you're in Phoenix, Arizona, I'm from the BEAU Default Studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. Okay, this is what's going on. Jacob Hornberger, I've known him as Bumper for, I don't know, whatever reason he's called him Bumper. Jacob has been around one of the earliest times for me being a libertarian. You heard hearing the word libertarian, librarian, what? You know, you're for what? And all of a sudden, you're that and that and that. And now I'm going, well, hell yeah. Well, I must be a libertarian then. Because until you find libertarian philosophy of leave me aloneism and kind of whatever, I'm, you're kind of in there one like that. And then you find it and you go, wow, this has been thought through. You know, people are, you know, they're just like the purpose of government, leave me aloneism. And Jacob's been around for a long time, very influential. And as a young hardcore activist in the day, it's always good to have someone that can articulate this. And then there has been attempts. He's like, yeah, we need a candidate that's not so stated. He's kind of been willing to run for the nomination. He had enough support before, but it just never kind of manifested. It wasn't time, because it's always one of two things. It's a political machine that's there going to make money and how somebody gets paid. And then there's a philosophical spontaneous order of kind of the levolution thing around Dr. Paul. Well, Jacob, it's time. There's a lot of people doing a lot of stunt kind of whatever, but yeah, just to get the libertarian, not this Gary Johnson, Bill Weld libertarian BS, not this Bob Barr BS, not this Wayne Allen Root BS, not the, you know, get back kind of a Michael Badnarik, first do no harm kind of thing. You know, Harry Brown, big giant, you know, head and shoulders above. But we had problems inside the, you know, machinations in the party BS in there too. So I'm going, all right, is 2020 it? Is it the time? I'm being encouraging to Bumper. I mean, I put a little effort into that one to, you know, rebrand the libertarian movement like libertarian. You know, what the hell would you do with that, you know? So I'm going, yeah. And of course, the people in the back office, they'd be going, oh, yeah, all the more the merrier. Damn it. Well, we got this promise of, you know, Coke money over here for, don't care, okay? It's going to be a battle royale. Well, this is happening around the country from people and things that you would think not happen, like conscientious resistance, Derek Brose running for mayor in Houston. Where the hell did that come from? But not necessarily a bad idea. Let's say hello to Derek. Hello, Derek.
Hey, what's going on, brother?
I'm all ulcers in anticipation of your very next comment, okay, on this stuff. All right, let me do the little intro real quick. Derek is a freelance investigative journalist, activist, author, and public speaker from Houston, Texas. Brose is the founder of the Human Tree Thinkers Community Alliance, as well as the Conscientious Resistance Network. His journalism has appeared on the anti-media Truth in this place, that place, a bunch of places. Derek's message brings spiritual and philosophical principles together in a call for self-governance and building counter-institutions to the state via agorism. He is currently finishing a book titled Counter-Economics, How to Opt Out of the Coming Social Credit State. Okay, so he sees an opportunity and a benefit running for office. Not that I've done it freaking gabillion times, okay? But do you vote? Well, that's a whole nother thing. But the thing is actually running, and I'm going, all right, in this race that you're going to run for mayor of Houston, are you going to vote?
Am I going to vote for myself?
Vote at all. I don't care who you vote
No, I'm not going to vote. I won't be voting, but yeah, well, I appreciate the intro, Ernie. Good to be back. But yeah, you know, I decided to throw my hat in the ring. I heard you're talking about different libertarian politics, and you know, I've spent the better part of the last decade encouraging people to take action outside of the political system, like many of us have, and I still absolutely believe in that. But you know, I'm getting ready to leave Houston in the beginning of 2020. I've been here my whole life. I'm 34 now, so I spent my entire life here. I spent the last decade doing activism, journalism, confronting the mayor, the police chief, questioning them on everything from police violence to you name it. I had them run away from me. I've gone to city council to do that little bit and had them tell me, ding, your time's up. So I've tried every avenue I can to raise awareness around my city and the place I grew up. And I think I've been successful in a number of ways, but I figured, you know, once I started to realize that when I go to an event and I try to ask the mayor a question, he literally puts his bodyguard between me and him and tries to run out the door and get away from me. And, you know, he can just tell me time's up and ignore me at city council. I figured, well, if I'm in the race and I get in a debate, he can't really run away from me then.
Hello.
So it gives me the opportunity to talk about real issues and actual, you know, actual, I think, concerns of Houstonians, because I don't know about, you know, the races anywhere else, but Houston is a city of like 3.5 million people. And you have less than, and again, not that I really care about the vote, but you have less than 200,000 people vote in the elections.
Wow.
Because they don't really care. And that's such a small percentage, you know, almost 4 million people, 200,000 people vote, and they get to decide what everybody else does. And it's because I think, because when you look at the mayor who's running for reelection and then the other two candidates who are the main candidates, I mean, it literally looks like they're using the same cookie cutter template. It's red, white, and blue. It's time for more hope and more change. It's, you know, let's fix the potholes. There's nothing interesting. There's nothing exciting. There's nothing, I would say, legitimate in a city that is the fourth largest city in the country. There are so many other things going on, so many bigger concerns. And every week downtown, these 16 people in the council and the mayor are signing away people's tax dollars and, you know, signing contracts with all kinds of corporations.
Who's their support? Where's all this? You know, they're signing away with the support of whom? I mean, is it the people? Is there some special interest? Is it run by oil? Is it run by real estate?
Well, Houston's definitely ran by oil. I mean, Houston is an energy-rich city, so we've got BP and Exxon and Chevron and all the refineries and all the stuff like on the east end of town. But also, you know, the mayor is in the back pocket of Verizon Wireless, the big telecom companies. He's got, you know, he basically, anybody who donates to him, he ends up getting the contract with him. He's been exposed a lot, quite a bit this year. So I also figured, like, he's getting beat up. It might be easy to come in and also leverage what I've built in the independent alternative media. I have the support of a lot
banned,
of
banned, banned, purge, banned, deleted. You know, I've don't you already know what I'm going to say, man? We'll be counting on your alternative nothing. You
no, we're colluding. We're colluding to see if we can sway the election.
Yeah, you're not allowed to advocate for yourself, you know? You got to just do for the man. All right, when we come back, I want to you know, drill down on this a little bit more, why you would do it. The big thing, before we go into the break, you alluded that you're going to be in Houston. You've been there all your life. You're a large part of it, and you're thinking 2020, you might go somewhere else. Where might that else be?
I'm going to travel for a little bit. I got an RV, travel a little bit of the U.S., but I do think I'll probably be leaving the United States in the next couple of years to get some land elsewhere and start building a little community that I want to create. So this is...
Hey, you're young, got a strong back, man. You can just freaking build. Give you a few years and it's built. Done.
That's what I'm waiting to do, man. This is just one last
need
hurrah
some
in the city. Wow, <you know?
laughs> I got some geodesic domes for you, man. We'll get you hooked up.
Yeah, let's do it.
You know, that's one thing you know, we got a lot of people doing the frame. It's about the coating, the covering of it, the shelling. We just got to experiment. And the thing is that where can you do it? There's only a certain amount of places around the country that you are even allowed to build whatever you want on your own land. You know, that's one of the problems. And that's one of the problems. If like you got a young man here, you know what? I'm, you know, 20 whatever years old. I will take a year and a half and I will just build my own nest and kind of got a nice couple of acres of something in a warm, dry place for, you know, a nice, beautiful female bird to come spend the time with me. And they go, I see you have a nice nest here. I wish to share your nest with you. While you can do that, well, when can we do that anymore? On the lone prairie of Homestead of kind of doing, put forth some effort. No, not unless you kiss the ring of the man. Well, I'm done, ring kiss. We'll go ahead and talk about how we might do this in Houston here this next year. We'll be right back.
From the first letter of Dr. Idris Barber, I've healed many landlubbers, but could have healed countless more if they were willing to break the law to preserve themselves. The Crown required that I obey leeching privateers who didn't share my oath to do no harm. I was forbidden from discussing the treatments I knew patients needed. The Crown claims to protect landlubbers from bankrupting medical expenses, but only seduces them into begging for relief, while privateers monopolize the management of chronic illness. This royal alliance has constructed a medical hegemony that denies science, discredits alternative remedies, and mandates unwanted treatments, while callously ignoring the victims dying on waiting lists. They have produced a society increasingly addicted, impoverished, diseased, and suicidal. My conscientious objections and medical ambitions required not only seeing this cage, but leaving it. That's why I raised my black banner. Among pirates, the Crown's tantrums are irrelevant. You own your body without qualification. Open ocean medicine enables healers and customers to build a relationship of mutual consent. Prices decrease, quality increases, and physicians become as accessible as barbers. Customers determine their own medical care, whether that's experimental treatments, prohibited plants, controversial procedures, bootleg pharmaceuticals, or even the right to die. Any system of command and control is rejected. In time, artificial intelligence, nanotechnology, genetic engineering, and cybernetic prosthetics could take the human condition beyond our imagination. Medical augmentation could eliminate aging, enhance intelligence, and erase our fundamental physical limitations. With the Crown in our wake and the individual at the helm, we are free to pursue an unfettered life. Need decentralized solutions to centralized problems? Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
Would you like to hang out with...
Okay. Piratswithoutborders.com. Have you checked out Letters of Captain Mark?
Yep.
All right. That is, man, there you go.
Show me, yeah.
You got to read a couple of them. Shit.
Yeah, no, I'm saying you showed it to me and I checked it out after that.
This is... We're pushing the crap out of this. We're going to be at Forkfest and Porkfest and, Narcovegas and, blah, 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 with tables and trinkets and trash and shirts and really pushing all this stuff. And, we're sponsoring, Man Camp. We're going to have like hundreds of shirts there and so on at Forkfest and Porkfest and, a table at, in Vegas. And I can see what's coming. This is going to be, and that's why Bumper Hornberger from Future Freedom Foundation, if he's finally, interested in running for the nomination for Libertarian president, I'm like, hell yeah. I freaking well-versed, can say it, Libertarian answer to we don't need none of you nothing and none of your business what I'm doing. That is going to be interesting. And if you're doing Houston at the same, is their election coincide with the 2020 presidential?
No, it's in November, so just the next 5 months,
Oh, okay, so we're rocking on it. Yeah, all right.
Yeah, I just announced last week, and I'm basically, like I'll say on air, I'm just spending the next 5 months trying to strategically spread this message. And also, I have to, come up with a plan. What would I do if I'm elected? I keep telling people there's no way I'm going to win. I'm going up against a career politician and a self-funded millionaire. But I also do have a following in Houston, so people were definitely getting excited about it. So I have people saying, well, what happens if you do win? And I'm just not sure how to answer that yet.
I do. I go like this. Is this thing on? You're free. You're all free. I'm going golfing.
That's amazing. Yeah. Well, I want to talk about on air about some of the ideas that I'm putting forward. But
all right, here we go.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
And the land of confusion. Well, to make it a little less confused, we have gentlemen like Derek Brose going to come explain it to us, the conscious resistance. The conscious resistance is, describe that for us, will you, Derek?
Yeah, sure. So it's a website, and it's also the title of my book trilogy that I launched in 2012. But the way I see it is, it's a philosophy of sorts. It's the idea, the realization that fighting for freedom, struggling for freedom, for a more free and equal and just world, it's not going to come from just confronting the government and the corporations and the physical institutions of power, but also working on our own BS, our own trauma, and through our own individual, you know, that battle against our own internal tyrant, and bringing that together, bringing together the like self-awareness, the kind of personal emotional awareness, as well as an awareness of what's going on.
Now that tactic, would that be part of your campaign? It's like, hey man, I'm running for enlightenment of we all sit around and hum a lot and it'll be better. I mean, you know, what are you going to, how are you going to advocate?
So, I mean, yeah, I mean, I think the thing about this campaign is I'm just being myself. I mean, as truly as possible. You, anybody who wants to check it out, it's just my name, DerekBroze.com. That's where the campaign info is at. But
B-R-O-Z-E?
Yep, B-R-O-Z-E. Derek, B-R-O-Z-E. Right, like, Derek, you know, I'm up front. I know I've said it on your show over the years, but, you know, I 15 years ago, I went to prison. I was addicted to crystal meth. I had a big life change that shifted me in the direction that I'm, you know, I am now, that I've spent the last 10 years of my life. And I do think that that puts me in a certain unique position to have firsthand been a part of the drug war, you know, and seen the failures of the drug war. As somebody who is addicted, I still believe in decriminalization of all drugs and getting the government out of the way. And that's a big part of what I'm talking about in Houston, talking about not only just decriminalizing cannabis, but making Houston a sanctuary city, if you will, for cannabis businesses and for cannabis, as well as talking about ending the surveillance in Houston, you know, getting rid of no-knock raids, putting, you know, but also at the same time, in line with the principles that I do believe in, I don't want to come in and just be a dictator and swing this, you know, wear the ring of power. It's kind of this philosophical struggle, I guess you could say. On one hand, I don't want to come in and just, yeah, be that dictator that says, all right, I'm going to fix everything with just, you know, the stroke of a pen. And at the same time, I don't really believe that voting is the most effective way for people to express themselves. So if people somehow elected me and I beat this millionaire and I beat the career politician and somehow make it in there, I would like to keep the ideas that I'm talking about. Like another thing is I'm telling people that, and I've got a lot of support from this just in the last week. If I was mayor, I would never support calls for mandatory vaccination orders like we're seeing here recently, not because, you know, not because of the science, not even getting into that, but just because I believe people own their bodies and that it's wrong and immoral for the government.
I know, just these kind of arguments, issues like that, like there you go, whoa, wait. I own my body? I never thought of that, you know? I just said, thank you, Derek. And then you have, you know, a big impact, you know, for a long time. Well, this is what happens. When we've had, I've done election, I've run for office since 1990. Every election cycle, it was something. You know, state legislature a couple of times, U.S. Congress a few times, U.S. Senate, Secretary of State, County Recorder, on and on and on. I mean, I'm always there going, hello, let me tell you the freedom thing. Sure. But what happens is, you know, you get up to, oh my God, in, you know, statewide race of you get 8%, you know, they're like, man, what the hell? And then you got a bunch of other people that agree with it anyway. Then you get into some situations on issues or something that you may be 30%, 40%. Well, they look at that. Yeah, lost. Yeah. But a third of the people think you're a jerk, okay? A third of the people agree with the freedom option. A third of the people understand. You can't have a third of the people in opposition to their policies and expect the policy to work. It just doesn't, because there's just way too much opposition. And A Moon is a Harsh Mistress by Heinlein. I remember their government was, you had to have at least 3/4 of the people vote to have something enacted. 3/4, you got to have a super majority. But it only took a third of the people to redact anything or to take it out, retract it. So you got a third of the people say no. He goes, if you got a third of the people that don't like it, it ain't going to work, whatever it is, okay? So this kind of mentality is what you're bringing, and it's whether regardless of the vote totals, at the end of this thing, you get a significant part of the population just regardless of vote totals. I don't trust their computer crap anyway. You get a significant number of the people going, hey, Derek's not too off the beam here. I like what... You change minds. How many minds can you free? How much influence do you have? How much have you penetrated the... It's like, you know, freedom-oriented libertarian politics is like an injection of the libertarian infection into the bone marrow of American politics, for which there is no cure. And Derek Broze is one of those hypodermics. Bam! Right into the bone marrow in Houston. You inject that in there, it's going to have a lasting impact. What's the biggest impact you want to have? Why are you doing this? What do you think is going to come out at the end?
Yeah, so, you know, the way I see it, Ernie, is so the campaign, it just launched last week. The other candidates, they've been campaigning for a couple months. The election is November 5th. That gives me 5 months now to strategically, and I'm very meticulous with the work that I do and the reasons I do and the issues that I'm choosing and how I go about this, 5 months to educate the people of the city I live in, to have their attention, because, you know, I can say the same exact things I say every week on my radio program or on YouTube, and, you know, I'll get a certain audience, but say a normie audience won't listen, right? But if I say I'm a candidate for mayor, all of a sudden they got people who would have never listened to me before willing to hear what I have to say. And so I'm going to spend 5 months using that to my advantage with just that little simple trick of, okay, I'm a candidate for mayor now. Now they want to hear what I have to say.
Yeah, been doing it a long time. But I tell you, you're going to have signs with a web page of a QR code to this place. I'm a candidate. And here's my 3-minute intro video of why you should pay attention to me. Peace out.
Check it out. It's all on my website. I've got a couple of campaign videos out already. We put a new one out yesterday.
Hey, what is it? Derek Bros?
DerekBros.com. Yeah, check out the website. I've got, and this is what I was saying. Not only do I have the support of the independent media as far as sharing things, because like you said, we are facing censorship and bans, but I have the talents of those people. So when people see my website, it was built by somebody in independent media. When you see the graphics, the editing, it's slicker, it's smoother, it's more oriented. And I want you to go look at the other candidates. Again, like I said, it's red, white, and blue. It looks like a cookie cutter template. They're talking about potholes. They're talking about this and that. I'm talking about surveillance, talking about decriminalizing cannabis, talking about protecting people against the state from forced vaccinations, talking about getting rid of no-knock raids, talking about putting police surveillance. And as I said, I don't want to come in and just be the tyrant to decide these things for myself. I want the people of Houston to decide, is this what you really want? You know, I don't want to just be that king. I want you to decide, do you want the police to have this money? Do you use this money this way? And so I'm going to spend the next 5 months educating them about these different issues that people are already resonating with. I already have different parent groups on the vaccine issue saying, you know, would you protect us against vaccinations if you were elected? I have the cannabis people wanting to talk to me. I'm also talking a lot about 5G and the rollout of that technology and how the mayor here in the city is in the back pocket of Verizon already. He's got to deal with them. So I'm exposing that corruption using my journalistic and activist skills, but just using it in this platform. And so over the next 5 months, when the election comes around, I hope the people who are paying attention will realize that it doesn't matter whether I win or I got 1% or 5% or whatever, but it's about the message that hopefully will spread.
Yeah, I'm looking at this site with the audience here. I'm digging it, man. This is looking good. You're going to do some ass whipping. Author of, I'm doing, I'm running, I got, all right. All right. We go in. We'll see. While you're running, you got your 5-minute intro video of. Oh, it's a going concern. Well, might we be able to help? We will talk about it when we come back, or right now on the stream.
Free Talk Live.
Okay. Damn. All right, man. We're rock and roll and whatnot here. All right, let's go to videos.
Yeah, check it out. Check it out if you want.
Weekly town hall live stream.
Yeah, I'm doing another one today. So basically every Wednesday I'll be putting out like a short campaign ad, if you would call it, you know, issue video. I put one out the other day, right there, that one on 5G. That's a buddy of mine edited it really well together. And then every Friday at noon, I'm doing these town hall live streams just to have a direct connection. Because the other candidates, just to say it, they don't know how to use social media. They don't know how to use the internet. They're not even reaching out to anybody that's probably under 50 or 60 years old. They're focused on the kind of establishment in Houston. They're not focused on anybody that you could consider youth. And I mean that broadly, like 40 years.
Yeah, they are. Universal basic income. We're going to pay off your student debt and live here.
Oh, they're not even saying that here. They're not even trying to play up that. It's just total like old money corporate. Because like I said, Houston is a big oil city. There's that establishment money there. And that's another thing I want to try.
What about a voter registration thing? Are you guys, you know, working on that with what? And who are these guys? Republican, Democrat? What's their
This is a cool thing. And I want to say this on air, too, when we come back, is in the city of Houston, they're on the mayoral race. There are no parties. So I don't have to. I personally don't have to.
That don't mean shit.
Well, no, obviously the mayor running it was formerly elected as a state congressman as a Democrat. He's clearly a Democrat.
Ooh,
the other guy running, the other kind of main candidate he was formerly the lawyer for Rick Perry, the governor of Texas. He's definitely the Republican. But yeah, there's no official, you don't have to pledge any sort of party allegiance, which is one of the main reasons that I was excited about it. Cause I didn't have
to. Are you having to, when you do this race, are you addressing their negatives or are you just ignoring them and going for the positive? Or are you pointing out? I mean, what? How are you doing this?
I'm doing a little bit of both. When you get a chance to watch that video, you'll see, you know, like, for example, I introduce what is 5G, what are the concerns about it, and then I show, hey, look, the mayor's already in the back pocket of Verizon. He's ignoring that. He's ran away from my questions. Tony Busby, the other character, the other candidate, he's already said he's in support of it. I'm the only candidate that's questioning this. So we're trying to do a little bit of both. Obviously, we got to, you know, show how I contrast.
All right, I want to do a little bit of this video. Where should I go?
Which one do you want to play?
I don't know which one. Let's do the first one that's on your homepage.
Oh, yeah, that one's probably the shortest
one. I like this. Houston, we have a problem solver.
Well, actually, I think that you might enjoy the one when I actually went straight to city council and announced it to their faces. And the mayor got up right before I spoke because he knew what I was about to do.
Ah, screw him. I don't give a shit about that. I'm really, you know, the more deference you gave them, the more I don't care. You know, screw them. You know, have a positive, you know, hope-filled.
That's what I'm going for. And honestly, I'm telling you, this mayor is getting so beat up this year because there's a big issue with the firefighters. The city of Houston last year voted to give the firefighters a raise, and he turned it into a legal battle, and he's been fighting them for the last year. And so he's looking really bad because he's not supporting the firefighters, because he's in the back pocket of the cops, and the cops police union doesn't want the firefighters to be paid the same. So he took their side.
I know this is so way down. I don't give a shit.
It's just funny. The reason I'm saying this makes him weak right now, so that it's
But these issues, it's just, I fought. They're so common everywhere. It's firemen and police, and what they did here, they combined and called it guns and hoses. So guns and hoses here, they're combined together, and they get it together, and they got the same referendum on, and they get paid first and their pensions of whatever together. So when you get guns and hoses together, you're really screwed.
Oh, right? No. Well, hopefully the guns and hoses don't come together out here.
No, sooner or later, if you go up against them, yep, here it comes. Here we go.
It's patreon.lrn.fm.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Hey, friends. My name's Derek Brose, and I'm running for mayor of Houston. I'd like to tell you guys a little bit about who I am, where I've been, and what issues I'm going to focus on as a mayoral candidate. First of all, I'm 34 years old, and I've lived in Houston my entire life. For the last 10 years, I've worked as an activist and as a journalist and as a radio show host to try to expose corruption and shine a light into the darkness. I'm continuing to do this now as a mayoral candidate. But I'd like to tell you guys a little bit about where I've come from before I tell you.
Oh my God, it's Sargon of Akkad! You have a popular, local journalist guy, activist. Hell no, you must be banned. You know, this is what kind of banning and stuff have you experienced in your activism there? They just giving you all kinds of attention?
Well, you mean related to the race or just in general?
In general. I mean, when you get to the race, I guarantee, it's going to put this way. They're going to give you wider reach and coverage. They're going to have your trend more and look, he's getting a lot more attention, and therefore he's purged. You see my point?
Yeah, no. I've been curious so far if they're going to either attack me for my past. Oh, he's a felon. He's a former drug addict. Oh, he's a conspiracy theorist.
Or
just totally ignore me. You know, I mean, I'm not sure if they're just going to try to just ignore me out of the race. As far as banning and purging, you know, I was a writer with the anti-media, with Ben Swan and with everybody in the independent media. And once we started getting pages deleted and purged, I lost all of my income. You know, as of last summer, nobody could afford to pay anyone anymore because we weren't reaching anybody through social media. So I definitely know firsthand, you know, how,
which was the point.
Yeah, exactly. Like that's what they wanted to be able to do, is to take away our source of income so that we can't write articles, so that we can't keep people
informed.
Yeah,
how long have I been screaming to you guys what this was going to happen? I'm going, and then it happened, okay? So now with the IPFS thing, we're making great progress on that. All of James Corbett is all over. Freedom's Phoenix, Pirates Without Borders, we got it all on IPFS. But the thing is that tweaking it and getting to kind of doing stuff and having a standard platform to be able to convert all you guys over. But I'm not, got to go where the people are. Yeah, they're there. They just don't see you. Now what? You know, this dependence on they, them, those's grid system has been so stupid. But When you're doing something like running for mayor in Houston and you take it to the ground level, you start putting up signs, you start mass producing of here's the web page, go and see what I got. They're going to freak out. And it's because they don't know who you're reaching. They don't know. And if they don't know, that's what the surveillance state is all about. They don't like not knowing, because then they get hit upside the head unexpectedly by a bros campaign and they don't like it. So I'm wondering, you know, what your game plan is for just getting it out in the face of people.
You're definitely right. So we have our first campaign, a town hall meet and greet this Sunday. This will be my first event, and hopefully we're going to get a lot of people out there just to show that there's interest. We'll be live streaming that online as well for people who can't show up. And as I said earlier, I think that one of the strategies that I'm going to take is going to the campuses. I've already started communicating with local campuses, University of Houston, University of Houston downtown, and several others. I've gotten accepted to a few debates that are going to take place in the fall, so I will for sure be in the debates with the other candidates. I've already been accepted.
For sure?
Yeah.
Mickey,
well,
sure?
So far, we'll see. Well, and
doesn't
the thing
matter.
Is, focused-
you know, you be outside. You got to have – let me tell you what happens. Whenever they've done that to us, we just have a big giant, have some fun, got sign, get arrested, whatever the hell has got to happen. I guarantee, regardless of what happens, you're a third of the news coverage of whatever happened at the event. They'll be there doing all their crap, blah, 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 says blah, 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 about blah, 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 and a third of the coverage is you guys doing whatever out because then they suck.
Yeah, no, we'll definitely do any sort of guerrilla tactics we have to do if they do ignore me, because I have experienced censorship on the local level over the past few years and even more recently, and I'm pretty sure some of the local media are friendly to the mayor, so they're just going to try to ignore me. But we have some ideas of, you know, getting signs out there, obviously reaching out to student groups, college groups, just trying to get them interested, because I know that they're not even paying any attention. You know, I'm making it clear to people, I'm not asking you to wait till November to vote for me. I'm really going to try to talk about community involvement and people decentralizing from and localizing from the state power throughout the next 5 months. So that's
you're
going
to get asked to speak at a lot of things that normally wouldn't be part of the conversation.
I think that's a big opportunity.
Yeah,
as well.
It's food. It's, you know, you got the prepping thing, you got the food, the community gardening, the, you know, permaculture of the kind of feed and spiritual mind vibe kind of pace. You know, Derek's going to get, and they're going to see this eating, this corrosion in their system coming up over the next few months, and they don't like it, okay? I guarantee they don't like it. So you're going to need help. You asking for an invasion of Houston? You need the Liberty community? We're going to help Derek to go get some?
I definitely need help by, you know, a number of means. You know, whether people are listening to this from Houston or not, it really doesn't matter. I've had activists who live in California. I'm getting donations from London, from other people who follow my work over the last decade, who just want to help out because they understand that whether or not I win, it's not about winning. It's the idea that if I can get support, whether that means graphic help, meme help, video help, financial help, sharing videos, whatever, let all your friends in Houston know. That's just going to contribute to making that groundswell and getting the message out there, like you're saying, Ernie, where they can't ignore me and can't ignore the message. Because it's definitely not about me. It's about these ideas and this message.
You need to be thinking alternative. I mean, you know, alternative media, but alternative, alternative to alternative media. I mean, files, PDFs, memory, you know, DVDs. I got 20,000. I keep screaming. I have to get them done by 2020 or this technology is not going to be used anymore. I have 3 11 stack duplicators, 20,000 blank DVDs with sleeves and labels. Okay. That I got a bunch of plans I want to do for 2020, and the man pisses me off on something, and I'll, you know, make more, you know, anti pro something. But if you're willing, and we get some guys editing, put together all your video, kind of your site of interactive, whatever, DVD, a pass out of something, I'm willing to, I'll give you $5,000-$10,000. You make use of them. Let's do it. Rock and roll.
Let's do it, man.
You need signs? You know, we got a bunch of candidates are always coming by here making frames and cutting out and doing their signs or pressure washing New Orleans signs or on the cheap plastic signs that cost me a quarter a sign and put them up as signs, a zip tie sign. I'm like, you know, we'll blanket the crap out of them and say, hello, you know, if we want to. And I'm just saying, you get some, we got some friends here in Arizona. You got a big, you know, support friendship here in Arizona, some activists. You get them together. But this is the problem. It's freaking summer, man. It's hot, hot, hot. It's all, everybody wants to do this stuff in the summer when it's freaking hot. So it's nice now. We can do it early now. It's a long spring here for global warming. But it's snowing yesterday in Flagstaff. I mean, seriously, okay? But so we can make some signs and do whatever. I'm on. You make a trip out here as a, you know, week-long fundraiser, sit, you know, sleep in the back room and ass whipping, kicking, butts and elbows, and all you see in Derek's work. You got it here. We got you set up. You got some activists come. We'll get you taken care of. You go back to Houston, ship it, do it, kind of put them up. Boom. Done. You coming? When you coming?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's make it happen.
Like, are you going to come for Jackalope?
I'm going to be there for Jackalope for sure.
Okay, so Jackalope the week before or the week after would be a good time to come here and make use in the heat of, oh my God, we got shade and everything. It won't be as bad. And I tell you what, it'd be a hell of a lot easier than doing it in freaking humid Houston in the middle of the freaking summer. That sucks butt, okay?
Yeah,
Arizona, 120 degree, I'll put up against your 100 any day, okay? So go ahead and plan on that. That'll be, but you probably should get something even before then.
Now, we're
the election is November, right?
Yeah, election November 5th.
All right.
So I got a few months, but if anybody wants to help, reach out at DerekBros.com if you want to get involved in any way, whether you're in Houston or not. I appreciate it.
Yeah, we got, you know, it's on the site. It says, Houston, we have a problem solver. Like that. That's good. Okay, so this is the people that are behind you to support and said, yeah, rock and roll, let's go get some. These aren't a bunch of voters, are they?
You mean as far as in Houston?
Yeah, I mean the support that you have and people that are going, yeah, let's go help Derek. Yeah, let's go get him elected.
I actually do have some voter support in Houston. We'll see where they stand, but yeah, I've had people reach out on
Don't care. Want them active. I'm putting up a sign. You can vote. You know how you vote? Putting up a sign. I vote every time I make a sign. Put up a sign.
Exactly.
Bitch, complain, whine, moan. You think I give a shit what their computer says? Don't trust it anyway. Oh, I bet you guys got voting tablets and crap. Nah, who cares? It's all about the campaign. Derek, great candidates.
From the second letter of Captain Mark. Any pirate knows that commerce is communication. Markets condense oceans of information into a single price. Innovations in communication are circumventing the scrutiny of the crown. This signals a change in the coin of the realm. The crown uses digital currency to surveil, censor, seize, and destroy wealth at will, so pirate currency must protect us from this weaponized money. We need to move funds further, faster, cheaper, and without third-party observation, basing decisions on an accelerating flow of information. So pirates require nearly instantaneous transactions with no arbitrary limits on volume or artificial influences on fees. Most importantly, a pirate currency must preclude centralization. Otherwise, it will become another link in our chain to the crown. A superior currency will result in the obsolescence of the coin of the realm and the extinction of the crown itself. Trade above the grid. Join us at piratswithoutborders.com.
Yeah, pirate currency, pirate money, pirate, Derek Bros of pirate. Yeah, we're going to be pirate. Yeah, you look kind of piratey too. We'll get you all pirated up.
Yeah, I could take the pirate approach.
Well, the thing is, my thing is that that's where they go. But who will build the roads? I mean, you know, roads, we're going, there aren't any roads. It's always... You know, you're a pirate. You're against all flags, and then all the flags come together. No matter how much they're at war with each other, China, Russia, and America wants to go kick ass on anybody that's not under some ring. You know, so I embrace the pirate. I go, damn Skippy, you're going to call it. So we get to define what our kind of pirate is. You know, non-aggression to bite me. You know, I'm over here and suck it. So I don't have a problem with that battle at all. And I'm looking through your site here. My motivation has spent the last 10 years working as an activist journalist, yada, yada, yada. Now Derek is entering the race. Derek, I'm going to come back with that. You know, I'll just kind of read that real quick and then throw it to you. But the, when I first saw that you were, you know, a month or more ago, you were thinking of doing this Mayor Houston thing. Immediately I understood what was going on. You know, I know your spiel and I'm going, yep. You see why in the 90s we ran for office. We had dozens of us just doing this on a mass scale in Arizona for exactly the reasons and the method that you're doing. And they would go, well, you're not going to win. You're confusing me like I believe or care anyway. Our whole thing was to have a standard in there. Now, in the hour before you, Jacob Hornberger, Future Freedom Foundation, he's been, you know, in and around the Libertarian Party for a long time, since the 90s, ever since I can remember. And it was just not time for him to run because the Libertarians, they just didn't know what the hell to do with a Libertarian candidate. They keep thinking if you get some congressional guy that you win somehow or get something, and all you get is just paid off and schmoozed and bribed. And, you know, I can buy a 50-state access ballot party for $50,000. Okay, here it is. I mean, I'm going, if you're going to be a hoe, be an expensive hoe. I mean, holy crap. You know, you're a crack hoe out here in the political landscape, but I'm going, you guys suck. So if we got guys like you and Bumper doing it for the right reasons to define libertarianism when it needs to be defined the most, I'm freaking all over it. I'm you know, this is what I got, whatever machine we got built here to do. That's what it's for, okay? So you do this, you're willing to, you know, do what you're doing, I'm willing to do what I do. And I got tens of thousands of DVDs blank ready to go. We can make signs. We got the t-shirt machine. I just did 400 shirts for ForkFest.
No, let's do it, man. I'll definitely come out.
Wait on you now. Wait.
I'll come out around Jackalope for sure.
All right, here we go.
Social media platform.
And we'll talk about some more.
LRN.FM. Toot.LRN.FM.
There are those that just want to be left alone. And those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
And we're back. I want to go ahead and read this right for him. Now Derek is entering the 2019 race for mayor of Houston. As a mayoral candidate, Derek is seeking to uncover any and all behavior by city officials which impedes with the liberties of the people of Houston. Oh, hell no. They don't. What does that mean? Derek Brose is the only candidate who wants to give away the power of the mayor of Houston and amplify the voices of Houstonians. Derek also wants to decriminalize cannabis, initiate a moratorium on the 5G rollout, and put an end to surveillance in Houston. He is also the only candidate calling for ending the anti-food sharing ordinance and no-knock raids by Houston police. Derek is also calling for localizing and decentralized Houston's food production by supporting community gardens and urban farms. Finally, Derek is pledging to support freedom of speech and civil liberties, including standing against any calls for mandatory vaccinations in the city of Houston. Oh, you pissed off everybody. Okay, let's see. You know, no-knock raids. There's the police and the enforcement arm of, you know, the Gestapo. They don't like that. They're better off not. That's just stupid anyway. It's costing them all. I don't know what the hell their problem is, but anyway. So I'm glad you're bringing that up. Let's see. Decentralizing, localizing food production, which is going to be a big thing coming here directly. I guarantee it. Let's see. We got gardens and urban farm. Yeah, you got the median there. You want to go farm it? Knock stuff out. Peace out. Finally, Derek is pledging to support the freedom of speech and civil liberties and against mandatory vaccinations. Hell. Man, if you didn't... Whoa, big pharma, you know, big surveillance government, you know, hell, we got the military industrial complex in. Oh, yeah, surveillance, the surveillance industry. Crap, Negro, you in trouble already.
Yeah, I was going for, you know, bothering as many powerful people as possible. And honestly, I've been talking about this. If by some crazy chance I was to win, of course, it's not about winning. But if that was to happen, I think there'd probably be a number of lawsuits for me even attempting to do any of those things.
So?
But, you know, that's what I think would be pretty cool about it. It kind of would be exciting to be in that position to have the federal government sue you or Verizon Wireless sue you or what have you. But what I really am trying to do is basically if you look at for those who check out the website, I'm very careful with the language. Like I said earlier, I'm not telling people I'm going to do this myself. I'm saying that I want the people to have a chance to speak on this and have a say in
this. Yeah, no, I understand all the verbiage and the way that's just going to piss them off even more. You know, they don't want to have this kind of discussion. You've had this kind of discussion with the city council and the mayor and the board. You've gone through this process, and they keep shutting you down. You're not allowed to have a voice and quit mucking up our meeting. And you go, oh, really? You think this is a problem? We're going to take it wide and get some. So tell me what their response has been.
So far they have ignored me. I've got some reaching out from local media. I'm going to go on like a conservative AM talk show in the next couple of days here in Houston. So that should be interesting. I've got, like I said, the mayor, his press secretary came up to me the other day. I was at an event and I was sitting down and he just said, so is this the candidate section? So they're aware that I'm running. They definitely know, but
screw
they haven't.
Yeah, don't give them this much deference.
It's just funny
them.
To me. I had to see
I
them.
Don't
run
them,
away
man.
From me.
I just so... Don't you guys had your chance. I've been through this before. There was a woman, she eventually was Secretary of State, her name was Jane D. Hull. She was a state legislator that I ran against because she was in my district. Then she became Secretary of State, and I ran against her because, you know, I was running for that. And then she went on to be governor. Ernie, if you'd just talk to me, if you'd come. She didn't remember that I actually did. Years before, I had gone to and kind of, you know, talk and kind of go through the process and change the laws on, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I'm going, I did. Do you remember you gave a coloring book to my daughter? You know, as we kind of, you know, it's kind of, oh, yeah. I go, no, we've been through this before. You had your chance, okay? So I am not, you know, they'll schmooze you and call you on the phone, squeeze your arm, tell you how strong you are and you must lift and you party and love your hair and whatever, okay? It's all bullshit, okay? They're trying to soften when the next time comes up, you just kind of give a little soft furry, well, the kind gentleman from. No, you freaking scum. You suck. And this, and if you even mention him at all, I wouldn't even give him any deference. You went to him. You spoke to him. They know you're up there. You went through the process. They got to deal with the wrath now. They got to deal with the rhetoric. They got to deal with the solutions that you offer, and they're just a problem. You don't even got to name them. Screw them. Don't elevate them enough because they're not going to try and do it with you, so you just bypass them. When they're schmoozing you, when they're inviting you, when they want to talk to you, when my good friend Derek Bros kind of bullshit happens, when that starts, that's when you're doing them the most damage, and screw them, ignore them even more.
No, I think you're absolutely right, and I appreciate that, Ernie. I appreciate the reminder, because you're right. They're not going to give me any the time of day, and you're
unless
also right.
Unless it benefits them.
Yeah, only if it is to, you know, call me a name or something silly like that. But like you said, I'm not in this to be a politician, to sit, get caught up in these back and forth. If anything, the only reason is just to show that, you know, the stuff that I'm talking about, nobody else is talking about. But at the end of the day, my goal is this next 5 months is to really focus on how I can strategically implant ideas into people's minds over the next 5 months. Today, when I do my weekly live stream town hall, I'm going to be talking about self-ownership and why that's important to all the issues that I'm talking about. And if at the end of November, there are Houstonians, you know, a couple thousand more, or who knows, 10,000, 100,000 more, whatever, who are aware of these ideas or who have at least heard of them, then I feel like it's a win. And
oh,
that's
no,
really
let me tell
about.
You what the win is. I tell you, this has been my experience that you see more than anything. It's a, you know, opinion and all that has a big, giant impact. But what, you know, creates that is the inspiration you give to the other dozen guys that run in the next couple of years or something that does, you know, saw the success that you have and not worry about vote totals and the load off your shoulders of being able to express this and somebody say that and they know how you were treated and they want to advocate for it. It's that dozen guys that start to get engaged a little bit more and use your rhetoric at the water cooler of their local whatever the heck or something. That's the impact. It's a cultural thing, which you understand more than most people. And this is why I'm so excited about Derek Bros doing this in Houston, because Houston has a little bit different about deeds and property and zoning. And, you know, it's a little bit more libertarian kind of oriented. It's got its own
issues.
No
zoning restrictions at all.
Yeah, it's all in the deed. Kind of going, well, you need a dome, you know? Get some domes. So I'm just like, this is amazing that it all comes to, and I'm sitting here with the resources wanting to help you a little bit, you know, a little bit with the volunteers here and what we have can have a big impact on a race exactly like yours for exactly the right reasons. Do not get sucked into their crap.
I appreciate that, Ernie. And I'm definitely going to come out there. I'll see you at Jackalope and probably before and after to do some work with you. And I appreciate the offer. And again, anybody else who wants to help, whether you're in Houston or not, sharing videos, sharing content, sharing the website. If you've got friends and family in Houston, letting them know that this is going on, because that's where I'm at right now is the big part is basically letting people know that this campaign exists.
You need to get an early kickoff now. You need to get need to get here like in weeks, and we start making and doing in church. What get designs? You got your design guy talk with Davi on doing design shirts and kind of doing kick ass. Because I got a couple of weeks, a few weeks before we go to Fork Fest and Pork Fest, and you know, an Ark of Vegas and all these kinds of things. So there's opportunities here, but it may be start moving into, you know, into July and getting the Jackalope before we can do something if we don't do it now, or we can get some. You get volunteers here, I'll show them out, you know, kick ass, go, peace out, you know. I'm waiting on you now, let me put it that way.
I'm coming, and I appreciate that, Ernie, I really do. And I'm going to just keep spreading these ideas. Like you said, I'm a problem solver. I'm trying to put these ideas. It's funny because a friend suggested that little phrase, and I thought it was a little too cheesy for me, but it seems to have stuck, and people seem to dig it. So we're going with it.
What phrase?
The problem solver. Houston, we have a problem
solver. Houston, we have a problem solver. That was awesome. Who thought of that?
My buddy Nick with the anti-media. It was just kind of a joke, and then it turned into
You thought it was cheesy? Of course it's cheesy. It wasn't working. It wasn't cheesy.
But no, I appreciate the interview, Ernie, and always appreciate the help and everything that you do. And yeah, I'm going to just spend this next 5 months using this campaign as a way to get ideas out and hopefully piss off the right people and see if we can, if I can leave Houston with at least some more awakened, questioning people.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good way to go out if you're planning on, you know, I'm here to, you know, this is to advocate. And that was one thing. We had even had this discussion about politics for 2020 is we're going, you know, it's not like we're going to fix anything. It's just like, hey, we did everything. We made sure that you understood the problem. We're getting it. It's here now. We're not going to fix it. You're not going to get through it other than decentralization down to the individual. You're not going to, there's not going to, we're not going to save the state. We're not going to save the Titanic as it got its hull ripped open by, you know, an iceberg. It's all about save the ship, save the ship. Screw the ship. What about the people? You know, nobody gives a crap about the people. They want to save the ship of state. Screw the ship of state. The people. Well, I know Derek Bros is exactly one of those guys. Save the people. And if you do that kind of mentality and that aura and that goal with this campaign, I'm here to save the people. Save your mind. Free your mind. You do that, the conscientious resistance, hell yeah. I am so freaking all over that. It'd be one of the more proud things that I've done in my life is to help spread this message, Derek Bros, in Houston. Houston, you got a problem solver. Here we come. Oh, you so asked for it. You dissed my man.
All right, Ernie. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, this is I'm looking forward. Yeah, let's do it. So, yeah, no, I knew about the second this had popped up on my radar. We had been trying to get hold of you. It's like your email or phone number's changed or something to something.
Yeah, my number changed.
You know, from behind. So it wasn't like we weren't noticing. Okay, I was waiting on you. So this is what we'll do is it's really simple. It's one of those. You get here with Art, and we have the equipment out there. I got all the – we can order – I could have screens in my hand to start making shirts this afternoon if I had it.
All right. Well, then I'm going to go – I'm going to look at – I'm going to look at my calendar and see how – like what's the earliest I could get out there if I get out there before you go to – so you're going to Fork Fest and Anarcho Vegas, all that, everything?
Yeah, I'm not going to be until Fork Fest until Monday. Monday night, I have a wedding to go to my brother-in-law in Norfolk. But so that weekend, I'm not going to make the peak of that. But I'll be there right at the end of Fork Fest, going into Pork Fest, and we'll have a bunch of you know trinkets and trash there. But the editing of the DVD, you know, getting the file done to be able to burn those. If you had those to pass out any and everywhere, I'm literally 20,000 sitting here ready to use between now and 2020. I have to use them. So
yeah, I would love to do that. I could just load up a bunch of my videos on there, like related to the campaign, and just tell people pop this in and check it out.
Yeah, no, you could do that. You could have more philosophical. We got all kinds of stuff that we did with Motorhome Diaries that we did on some anarchist stuff and, you know, Bitcoin Not Bombs. We got different compilations of stuff and videos. We could always need somebody to, you know, make the video. So you do that. What is that? Music playing or something. You know, what I want to do is have you think about it for a little while, but don't wait. You need to, if you get this stuff out now, it'll launch the campaign.
Yeah, they're already putting signs. The other guys are putting signs out everywhere, and I want to put them all over the city. I want to get these signs. Like, that's the benefit of having, you know, being again in the race, is I can put signs up.
Let me share this with you. Adam did the New Orleans thing. He came here, and I had a bunch of material that I used for Stop Wars, Home Educate. It was a Star Wars, when the first Star Wars came out a few years ago. It was the redos. We had these big signs, Stop Wars, that, you know, with Darth Vader wearing the Uncle Sam top hat and all that kind of stuff. And we made a crap load of them, hundreds of them. Well, I got a roll. It cost me like $500 or something, but it's this plastic that doesn't rip. You put it, zip tie it to a chain link, and it ain't coming down. It's one of those non-rip, cross-weave, white, whatever. Like, you know, people were using Tyvek. Well, this stuff doesn't rip. So we had these, and I had a bunch left over, and Adam came in, and he made his freedom things, and he did hundreds, probably 300-400 signs, and it cost almost nothing. Because these, to do a 3x2 sign or something like that and just screen it, or do the, what he did was the stencil thing, each sign come down to, I don't know, something stupid like 15 cents or some shit like that. I mean, the zip ties cost more, you know? So this is, you mass produce hundreds of these signs that stack up into, you know, like nothing. You ship it there and they go put them up. I'm telling you, you could order for a couple of dollars a sign and kind of cheap and everything. Yeah, but for that couple of dollars, I got like 10. You see my point?
Yeah, no, I'm definitely down. I'm going to check out my calendar, and I'll just, I got your number saved, so I'll text you whenever I have an idea of when I can head that way.
Okay, give me a time and try and work it out with our schedule, and we'll get some volunteers here and kind of the Derek and the whatever, and I know just off the top of my head I can get 3, 4, 5 guys, you know, working a couple of days if we can put in probably 100 man hours at least, which is a shitload of we got stuff done for us. So
sounds good. Yeah. All right, Ernie, well, I'll be in touch then.
All right, God, Derek, don't make me bounce you your ass down. I'm telling you, it's ready. I'm waiting on you now, okay?
I'm being touched. Don't worry about it. I'll be in touch.
All right, brother. Peace.
All right, talk to you soon.